Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, RCARE, NRC Health, TSO Life, Erdman, and Sherpa. View more and check out all things Bridge the Gap on our new website, btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas, the senior living podcast. We have an exciting guest here in Philadelphia. It's a cold, rainy day, but it's nice and sunny inside with Scott Stewart, the principal of Capital Seniors Housing. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Lucas. I've always wanted to be on NPR.
This is cool.
This is close as we can get it.
Yeah, no, you're going to be wildly disappointed. It's basically two dudes with a podcast. We got the mics on, and we're going to have a great conversation. Scott, it's an exciting time in seniors housing. You're here. You're going to be on a panel discussing a lot, you know, threats, weaknesses, opportunities, a lot of things that are going on in the industry. Tell us a little bit about your background. You're a fascinating guy. How did you end up in seniors housing?
That's a great question. So it didn't come from a burning desire to be in seniors housing. It actually kind of landed in my lap. And what I mean by that is I had worked at the Carlyle Group, a large private equity group in Washington, D.C., and I'd left there to run the acquisitions program for Sunrise Senior Living, which is also in the D.C. area, right in McLean. And I was going to be their head of acquisitions, which meant that they wanted to augment their development program, grow the portfolio of assets through acquisitions, and that was going to be my job. Well, almost to the day that I showed up, they made this sea change from going from a owner-operator of real estate into a management services provider, kind of like the Marriott model. Mm-hmm. They wanted to shed all the hard assets and just become a fee manager. And that was great. I understood the direction, but it would have been good to know that before I made the leap, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a sticks and bricks guy. And so the good news is I kept in good touch with the folks at Carlyle, and including especially the head guy, a fellow by the name of Rob Stuckey. He's a really smart guy. He's been running the U.S. real estate program there for the past 20 years. And he and I would take a run every Friday. At the cool down of one of those runs, we started talking about, seniors housing. I said that the move over to Sunrise may not have been the best career move, but this space is really interesting. This is, by the way, this is in 2003.
Gotcha.
It's kind of the birth of, senior housing real estate. And he said, why is that? And I said, well, it's because it's high yielding and it's recession proof, or as recession proof as any real estate industry could be. Being a smart guy, he got it and said, why don't you grab a couple guys and we'll set you up in business, become a joint venture partner. And that was the birth of Capital Seniors Housing 15 years ago this month.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so we embarked on a couple of joint ventures where we were buying opportunistic properties. Those are properties that have not fully achieved their potential. They're half broke. There's something wrong with them. They need resources. They need to get fresh coat of paint, new landscaping, maybe a new marketing program, perhaps a new operator, and just get things, their house in order before they can, grow the NOI, get stabilized, and then ultimately, harvest that value by taking it to market. So we did that. The timing was great. There wasn't a whole lot of competitors going after these properties. And we grew a portfolio pretty quickly. Went from JV1 to JV2. And then the bottom dropped out on everybody in real estate, circa 2008 with the Great Recession. So we took a pause. But that's how we got started in the business.
Interesting.
So what's you took us up to kind of 2008 there. What changed for you guys? What kind of strategies changed? Because everything, I think, hit pause, like you said, and then, reset. A lot of people did new strategies, new things. Take us from 2008 to what you guys have done up to now.
Sure. So 2008, nobody was doing anything. You know, it's just human nature or just basic common sense. You don't want to buy things as they're, depleting in value
or sounds good.
Losing their value. So you got to wait till you think that things bottom out, then you get back in the game. And so during that time, that 2 years, called it 2.5 year stint, that's when we really got focused in on the operations and understood you think we'd have done that before we got in the business, but we waited till we had that time to really hone in on, you know, detail line items, and really had a first good appreciation for how complex the business is. So having that full understanding, and, you know, a robust economy, on the launch pad, we took on another capital partner at that time, which was Harvard Management Company, which runs the endowment for Harvard University. So here we found ourselves in a great space with two really good, you know, blue chip partners, and then we grew a new platform from there. excuse me. So all that was going great, but we really hit our stride, I think, is when we got a development team on board. Joe McAwee, who runs our development program, brought over a couple guys from Sunrise, Jim May, Dave Ennis. And those three guys are responsible for over 150 new developments, mostly mini mansions that dot the, you know, the Eastern Seaboard. And, you know, they'd seen it all. And having them on our team really morphed us into going from an opportunistic group, acquisition group, into more of a development company, which is where we are today.
So that's fascinating. Kudos to you through weathering through those economic challenges and really diving in on operations. We've heard that from a lot of our guests. So take us, you know, a little bit forward looking. Then I think we want to dive in a little bit to the interesting guy that you are, kind of behind the veil a little bit. But what does the future look like, let's say next 5 or 10 years, not only for the industry as you perceive it, but how you guys are positioning yourself?
Great question. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, you know, even today with the Dow drop 600 points yesterday. And the 10-year treasuries at, you know, 3.2, those are not, you know, those are not growth indicators. And there's always the fear that, you know, interest rates are going to continue to keep climbing. Nobody wants to hear that if you're in real estate. But this space is really, I don't know if Teflonic is the right word, but we're close to it. I think that the future is bright for seniors housing. It remains bright. And the reason for that is just statistics, the demographics. We haven't even begun to see, the wave has not even begun to crest in the pinnacle of seniors that are going to be age appropriate for this space. We're the front end of it. So I think that that's going to help this industry defy gravity. And we're putting our money where our mouth is with that. You know, we've got 14 developments that are in some cycle of their development life, and we're just looking at new opportunities every day. I think a lot of people are starting to take pause and think about, you know, whether that's the right strategy or not, but we still got the pedal down.
That's awesome. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with you last night with a group of folks that was really awesome, chatting around dinner. And one of the things I heard you talking about was kind of how you guys are, I don't know, I'd classify it, you may not, as kind of what does next generation look like? What does the consumer of the future want, need? And I think everybody's trying to figure that out, right? And there's a lot of different variations. And you were, I think the term I heard you use was active living.
Yes.
So maybe describe what you mean by that and, you know, what validation points are you seeing and markers that would cause you guys to say, you know, that's kind of where we want to be positioned?
Sure. You know, again, that's our thinking and our going long on that strategy of active living is driven by statistics and fundamentals. We look at a lot of, we look at that as, we've called it the new frontier of seniors housing. We believe it. We've looked at properties that are out there that are active living or that are, you know, currently active living, and we think that they're B plus at best, and the operators are usually multifamily guys, don't really have a full appreciation for seniors and seniors' needs. And you know, they're full. They're even by bumbling around, they're actually doing a great job, right? And we think that if we've got, you know, a better mousetrap, a better property to develop, a template, and we can execute with a senior's mindset that we can do well in that space. So you flash forward to today, we've got four seniors active living properties that are in some form of development, and we're excited about that. You know, why we like that space is we found, and I'm a convert, by the way. I thought that seniors would, you know, want to stay in their house as long as possible. And you get that. Who wants change at that stage of your life? But what you're finding is that seniors are really looking for a third act. They want, you know, they want to, and they want to do it. They want to figure that out with like-minded folks. So they want to congregate, live in the same space, share community centers, share ideas, share opportunities to figure out, you know, what they want to do for, you know, the long period that they are going to be in that community. So we're looking at the cohort. It is closer to like a, it's not 55. I'm 55. I'm not ready for anything like that.
You're about as active as they get. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we're looking at the cohort like, you know, more like 68 to 75. And folks who still have jobs, they still drive, they still, you know, have a focus on activities and ideas, and they want to be with like-minded folks, you know, sharing those ideas.
Yeah.
That's what really turns us on about the space. It's really exciting, actually.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So give us a quick skinny on the ingredients that y'all are baking up in this new cake. So like some, what are some of the features? What are some of the amenities that you're thinking next gen, active living adult, you know, what are they going to be looking for?
Well, you want to have a, the prototype that we're going to go for is more of like a, call it a four-story stick build. We want to, we also want to attack the big element I left out is the middle class. That's where the biggest market is. We're defining that as like $1,800 to $2,300 per month for rent. And that's a very affordable. Okay, so what do you got to do that? You got to build an affordable product. So you can't go crazy on the front end. You can't go crazy on the land price. And then you've got to be able to stick build it and be economical about your construction, because everybody knows the construction costs are just through the roof these days. And that's where our key focus and key challenge is. In order to deliver a an economic product that works those rents, you gotta manage your P's and Q's on the development side. So that means, you know, you want to size it right, 140 to 160 units, four-story, stick-built, surface parking with a community center that serves as the focal point. And then within that community center, you gotta hire a real crackerjack, you know, activities director. You know, our bread and butter is still assisted living with a memory care component. There, your focus is on care and on dining, as well as other elements. Here, it's more on activities and providing a good, you know, stimulating environment for folks.
Sure.
Are those going to be single occupancy or double occupancy? On the active adult, on the affordable.
There'll be more sized for double occupancy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for bigger units.
Sure.
Yeah. Which, again, is kind of turns the bread and butter thing of assisted living on its head, because there you've got a, you know, more refined, tight units.
So some great insight. You know, I know we've got a very diverse audience, Lucas. Things like this are really helpful. I mean, the fact that we're talking about this and people are planning and getting some insight to some really successful folks that have some vision for the future. We joked a little bit about it last night because you've had the opportunity to know Scott a lot longer than I have. And I think we were talking about he may be one of the world's most interesting men. And so very eclectic. So I was enjoying some of your the history buff. Realize you're an Ironman, some of that. So Scott and Lucas, I mean, give us a little insight to y'all's relationship, how y'all connected, and then I want to know more about the world's most interesting man.
Well, and so let's transition to that. So Scott,
you can't see, but I'm blushing right now.
Right. You're going to be fine. Don't you worry. So you're a history buff. You just bought a new house that's got a lot of history. You've run marathons on, I believe, every continent. Yep. You're an avid suit collector. Looks like custom suits. You're wearing a dog vest today that has an interesting backstory to even some politics there. So
who doesn't like dogs?
Bring us into the fold. How have you been such an overachiever?
Well, that's maybe an overstatement, but I'll take the compliment. So thank you first. You know, I would say that, or people would say that, nobody, I've been blessed and cursed with a lot of energy, you know. And it's, you know, on the blessing side, you tend to get a lot of stuff done, don't need as much sleep as folks. On the curse side, you got to figure out what to do with all those extra hours. The Seven Continents Club thing, which was a lot of fun doing, and I'm very proud of that, is really a marriage of my two passions, traveling and running. Running is great. Running is an individual sport. You have a lot of time by yourself. You can do a lot of thinking. You can also educate yourself with podcasts, with, you know, books on tape, that kind of stuff. And so I like that. And it's you know, you put a pair of running shoes and take them anywhere, and next thing you know, you're getting a workout in, right?
Sure.
So that's got good benefits to it in itself. It's also, you know, an energy burn, just, and you stay healthy along the way. What's not to like about all those things? And so did that, and I'm now doing the Seven Continents with my, going around for round two, and I'm doing that with my daughter,
who just got back from
Dublin, running that marathon over there. So she ticked off Ireland. Europe, and that was neat. And then I'm debating whether I'm retired from the Ironman. Those are like, you know, marathons on steroids.
Sounds like you're not retired. If you're debating, then you're not retired soon.
Yeah, maybe I'll come out of retirement day. Yeah, that would be. I mean, if I could get, you got to qualify for Kona, just like you got to qualify for Boston. Mm-hmm. You know. I didn't say I run these things or do these things fast. In fact, I'm pretty slow. The age thing is tough to combat. And then you got to, you know, put your miles in, right? To get good at this stuff. But if I could get to Kona, where the World Championships are, by hook or crook, I mean, that would probably be a good cap to do all that stuff. Yeah.
So to round out the show, talk to us about your infatuation or obsession with JFK.
I guess it's a fair characterization. I share his ideals. I think by coincidence than stalking. I've got a lot in common with him from, you know, spent a lot of time in Boston, got a place on the Cape. Went to, you know, grad school at Harvard, and but he was just a cool cat, you know. And he was very inspirational. He just, like, you know, what he did for America at the time, with just giving everybody hope and promise. A lot of what you saw with Obama recently, you know, in Obama's first year or so, and Clinton, and even, you know, Reagan. Where you just have a new beginning. He really did that. Didn't obviously achieve his what he wanted to do because of what happened. But you know, I just—he's a very interesting guy. And so with that, you know, the latest thing I think you're referring to is I had an opportunity. I was empty nester, moving out of the Washington D.C. suburbs into downtown, into Georgetown specifically. And the house where he met Jackie on Mother's Day, May 13th, 1951, came on the market, and I, you know, scooped it up. And,
Scott was there. That's awesome.
Yeah, and got it all renovated, and we had the 60s Mad Men theme housewarming just this past weekend, as a matter of fact.
I saw some pictures from that. Yes, it looked awesome.
Well, Scott, we're grateful for your time. Congratulations on 15 years at Capital Seniors Housing. It's a gigantic accomplishment, and I was most impressed, really, not just of the accomplishment of the longevity, but by the words of the people that you've developed around the company. I found that to be really inspiring, and so congratulations, and we're going to be watching you closely in this next phase and these developments, and we're going to be rooting for you.
Thank you, thanks, Lucas, particularly for showing up at the party and being part of the celebration. I hope you had a good time. You know, that was a great, that was a pinnacle for us. So 15 years in business is tough for any kind of business, right? But tying it all together with all the running and all that stuff, the way I'm able to do a lot of that is I think I've got arguably the best team in the industry. In fact, I know I do. It's just fantastic folks who are competent. They've seen it all. They're confident, making great decisions. you know, with or without me. And that's enabled us to do a lot with in a short period of time with just a few people. So we got to celebrate that on Thursday night. And again, I'm glad that you were there to witness it.
Honored. So thank you so much. This has been another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Mark your calendar. Josh and Lucas are headed to OSHA January 30th through February 1st for the American Seniors Housing Association annual meeting. Register and book a meeting with Bridge the Gap at btgvoice.com.